New Zealand's Prime Minister-elect Jacinda Ardern has announced the full list of ministerial portfolios inside and outside of Cabinet for her coalition government. Our Kiwi correspondent Pearl Little from 95BFM joins us now. Good morning, Pearl.
Hello.
So who are some of the big winners of this announcement?
I definitely think some of the big winners is the former Labor leader, Andrew Little. So he's been given responsibility for, so he's now the Minister of Justice, Minister for the Courts, Minister responsible for GCSB, which is the New Zealand Security Agency, Minister responsible for NZSAS, which is Secret Service, Minister for the Treaty of Waitangi negotiations, and also Minister responsible for Pike River re-entry. This one is quite a big win for Andrew Little, I think, because he was still Labor leader, was really big on trying to get so the Pike River mine, the Pike River was a mine down on the South Island that collapsed 4 or 5 years ago, and I think about 11 men who were stuck in the mine died. And there's been a lot of pressure. There was a lot of pressure on the national government to re-enter the mine to because no one's actually really sure what happened when the mine collapsed, how the men died, why the mine collapsed in the first place. There's a lot of unanswered questions that people think could be answered if one was to re-enter the mine, and national government always refused to do that, saying that there were safety concerns, etc. Some people think that they're refusing to enter it because they refused to enter it because they could be, you know, found. They could find things like unsafe working conditions would come to light. So Labor has promised to re-enter the mine, and that was a big issue for Andrew Little. So he's got that responsibility to get that done. Other winners, obviously, I mean, the most obvious one is, I think, are the Green Party MPs who have been given ministerial positions. So James Shaw, who's the leader of the Green Party, is Minister for Climate Change and the Associate Minister of Finance. Julianne Genta is the Minister for Women. Jan Logie is the Parliamentary Undersecretary to Andrew Little. And she's going to be working on a special portfolio to do sort of research into domestic and sexual violence issues in New Zealand, which is quite a big deal. And also Eugenie Sage, who's a long-time environmentalist. She's now the Minister of Conservation and Land Information. Other big ones, obviously, Winston Peters, NZ First Leader, is now the Deputy Prime Minister, also Minister of Foreign Affairs, and weirdly enough, Minister for Racing, as in horse racing, which, in my opinion, isn't a massive thing in New Zealand. I didn't actually know that a Minister for Racing existed, but I mean, I guess it does, and I guess it's some sort of a big deal. And also one more I want to point out is the Minister for Immigration is Ian Lees-Galloway. He's also Minister of ACC, Leader of the House, and workplace relations and safety. He's had a bit of a track record with his opinions on immigration. A tweet, as soon as it was announced that he was Minister of Immigration, a tweet was brought up of him tweeting maybe earlier this year, saying that it's no coincidence that when numbers of immigration go up, that numbers of unemployment go up the next day. So people have been a bit critical of that choice. But, I mean, you know, I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens.
And how do these cabinet decisions compare to the previous government's positions?
Well, some comparisons to make is, so Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister, you know, she's taken on the Minister for Child Poverty Reduction, which is a massive deal, having the Prime Minister take on this massive issue in New Zealand. She's also the Minister for Arts, Culture and Heritage. And if we compare that with previous Prime Minister who was actually elected, so not Bill English, as he took over when John Key stood down. John Key was Minister for Tourism, and that was it. So people have been making a lot of comparisons about you know, between these two, and basically saying that Jacinda's, you know, really taken on more responsibility. Another comparison is that Julianne Genta, Minister for Women, a previous Minister for Women, Paula Bennett, said multiple times that she wasn't a feminist and that, you know, was quite anti, as some would say, anti-woman. Other comparisons, Minister of Finance, will be interesting and see how they do compared to Stephen Joyce, who was known for that whole $11.7 billion hole, which obviously didn't didn't exist. So yeah, it'll be that sort of, I mean, the biggest comparison. And I think also the biggest thing is having these Green Party politicians. And, you know, the Green Party have never held ministerial positions in New Zealand before, so it'll be interesting to see how this works. And one thing that a lot of people are saying is that one Green Party MP that was left off, who a lot of people thought would be a minister, was Marama Davidson, who, you know, is second on the list, and she's who a lot of people think is going to be the new co-leader when the Green Party hold their caucus early next year to elect a new co-leader after Matiria Ture stood down. So a lot of people were asking why she doesn't have a ministerial position, but I guess we'll actually have to wait and see what the reason, there might be a reason behind that. What it is, I'm not too sure yet.
Well, yeah, it sounds like there's going to be a good, interesting tone for this new government. I'm speaking with our New Zealand correspondent, Pearl Little. Now, the planned deportation of a disabled Fijian man has been put on hold. Can you tell us the story about this?
Yeah, so this man, Sega Narayan, 20, who's 20 years old, he has a mental disability, which basically means that he has the mental age of a six-year-old. And earlier, a couple of months ago, Immigration New Zealand said they were planning to deport the man, even though, you know, his family say he has no support network back home. So he's been on a string of temporary visas for the past 8 years, I think it was. And, I mean, Immigration New Zealand said that the reason they didn't grant this man, you know, full residency was that because of his disability and special education, he would cost New Zealand $16,000 annually. And the Immigration New Zealand's operations director said that these cases are incredibly sad, but the reality is New Zealand health system has a limited funds. So, I mean, yeah, as I said before, this man hasn't arrived recently. He's been living here for 8 years with his family. His family all have permanent residency. His family is all he knows. So the other family members were given permanent residency on the condition that he would be cared for by his grandparents back in Fiji. But when both his grandparents passed away, he came to New Zealand. He has no other family in Fiji apart from an aunt who is unwell and in financial stress. You know, his family said that we can look after our son. It's not going to hurt. It's not going to be a burden on the taxpayer. So that was all the news a couple of months ago. And now it's been said that this has been put on hold just after the new government came in and his case is under review. You know, they had been told to arrange for his son's, you know, departure from New Zealand by today, basically the end of this month. But that's been put on hold. So after News Hub brought the story to light, the family's local Labour MP, Carmel Cipollone, who's now also the new Minister for Social Development and Disability, sent a letter to Immigration New Zealand saying that he should be allowed to stay. So the case has been brought to under review, and the new Minister for Immigration, Lise Galloway, won't say whether he agrees with her, but now the case is being reconsidered and they're just going to take in all the information that they have and hopefully do the right thing. You know, and it looks like he could possibly stay in New Zealand.
Yeah, so is the fact that it's been put on hold being seen as a hopeful sign?
Yeah, it has, and it's definitely, I don't think it's a coincidence that this has happened with the new government, obviously. I think, you know, his local MP, Carmel Cipollone, probably would have sent that letter as well, you know, even if it was still a national government. But, yeah, it's probably no coincidence that after News Hub, you know, brought this case to light, started reporting on it, that there was really a change of tone from Immigration New Zealand. And, I mean, as I mentioned just before, you know, Ian Lees Galloway has a bit of a bad track record with his opinions on immigration. But, again, I still wouldn't be surprised if they let this man stay, which I obviously think is the right thing to do, but I also wouldn't say that it's unlikely that this is, you know, good PR for them for the new incoming government.
Absolutely. And finally, the High Court has found the National Party guilty of breaching copyright by using an Eminem song. So what was the story here?
Yeah, so the National Party have been found guilty of breaching copyright by using his track Lose Yourself for a 2014 election ad, and they must pay $600,000 to his publishing company, 8 Mile Style. So the amount of money was derived from what would be a hypothetical license fee that would have reasonably charged for permission to use the song. So what happened is that they bought this track off one of those sort of, companies that sell music that you don't need licenses for. And it was actually called Eminem-esque. So it's not like they were completely unaware of what they were doing. But it's been said in the courts that, you know, their actions weren't reckless after getting professional commercial and media advice. But again, the tracks are so similar that it really isn't. It's really not possible that they weren't aware of how similar they sounded. And it's also one interesting thing about this is that this court case was happening leading up to the election, and then, you know, the final arguments and statements were made in court, and then nothing happened. And it's very like, you know, it's possible, it's, well, people assume that they put the decision on hold till after the election because it was probably going to affect Nationals' publicity. But yeah, so they have been found guilty. They said they're disappointed. Now they're going to sue the company that sold them the Eminem-esque track. One of the great moments from the trial was when Stephen Joyce, when asked by reporters about the track, he said it was legal-ish. So he was, you know, obviously aware that it wasn't exactly sticking to the rules. And also Eminem came out just a couple of days ago and said that he's going to donate all the money paid by the National Party to relief efforts for Hurricane Harvey, which is nice, obviously.
Absolutely. And it's, I think, a bit exciting to note that this story isn't quite over yet.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Pearl.
Cheers.